Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. 100% engagement.
It's a total disrespect.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
I don't see that view.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Hi, this is Jim White, and thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Today, myself, Simon and Danny Murphy look back on last night's FA Cup results and discuss whether or not Marco Silva is in contention for being named manager of the season. We also ask if Romelu Lukaku has a future at Chelsea as they continue to struggle under Graham Potter. And Simon reacts to Conor Benn's lengthy social media statement. One of the many U-turns you've had to make, Simon, is...
In life?
Changes of mind, you mean?
A change of mind.
Availing yourself of new information and then having the propensity to change one's mind.
That's a trait.
Which
you've come to do on a semi-regular basis. No, but in all seriousness, Marco Silva, at one stage you weren't having him because, and you stick to this, some time ago you felt Marco Silva was a bit naughty, saying one thing and doing another.
I think I was right to say it at the time. I think he showed the characteristics of someone that looks... When you know you're talking to somebody that's pretending to be interested in you and looking over your shoulder at someone else that they're more interesting, you probably see that quite a lot. Marco Silva was in that sort of space and I didn't like it. I didn't think it gave
a trace. Well, I think it left a bit of taste, didn't it, when he jumped ship, really, for finance.
But it wasn't just the way that he jumped ship. It wasn't just the jumping ship, it was the way that he jumped ship at Watford. He pretty much downed tools, made it clearly evident to everybody he didn't want to be in a job that he'd been given after being there for 3 months. Some would say, well, Watford will do that to him anyway, but that's not the conversation I was having at the time. Now, if I carried that bias on and forever and a day refused to acknowledge the fact that the guy's doing a pretty decent job at Fulham and has perhaps seen the error of his ways and sees his future with Fulham until he's earned the right to move, and he's in that territory now. He's done a wonderful job for Fulham. In a year, 18 months' time, if he continues his wonderful job, and a far bigger club than Fulham comes along, I wouldn't be saying, well, hang on a second, you haven't got the right to do that. I'd say, well, actually, in anyone's life, you get a chance to advance yourself.
Yeah, and actually, with hindsight, what he did at Everton doesn't look so bad now.
No, true.
Yeah. Danny, you were there last night. Yeah. Fulham flying at the moment. Didn't get it all their own way, you were telling me this morning. Fulham now unbeaten in the last seven in all competitions. Last night, they march on in the FA Cup. They're in the quarter-final stages now for the first time since 2010. Leeds United, we'll talk about in a moment. Danny, super impressed by the scale of the Leeds support last night. That's another matter. Mm. But Marco Silva flying, and as I mentioned there in the introduction to this, it's not out of line to even think that he could well be in contention for manager of the season if they go even deeper in this tournament and continue to climb the Premier League. Marco Silva, you bet he's happy.
This is what I want, this is what we need, and that's to be our present and our future. We have to be stronger. And everything what we have been doing is not because just 11 players, because our group is a really good group of players. The competition is hard. I feel now that as a group, you are in our best moment of the season because everyone is getting in better form. Everyone is getting better and better and better.
Danny, what do you think? An outside shot at manager of the season?
Half a chance, depending how things go from now till the end. But obviously, if Arsenal go and win it, then it'll be a clear decision for Arteta. If Arsenal win the league, that's no doubt in my mind.
Job done.
But he's done a wonderful job because, for a few reasons, and we've talked about it on here, but it's worth repeating. I think he's learned from lessons in the past, his ability to vary the tactics, be flexible with what Fulham are doing depending on the opposition. He's obviously been part of the recruitment this time, which that previous two times Fulham came up, recruitment was really poor the first time and then pretty non-existent the second.
Yeah.
This time they've found a really nice balance, and all the players they brought in have hit the ground running. Tremendous. He's right to point out the squad. It hasn't just been 11. There's been a bit of, well, I say strength and depth. The lads who have been come in when they've needed to have done well. You know, even if you look at Solomon recently, he's got 4 in 4, the young lads, his first start.
Scores great goals, doesn't he?
Really, really good player. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it gives Willian a little breather, who's been exceptional. But there's still a bit to go yet. You know, they don't want to fall away and undo all that hard work.
Yeah, of course.
Quarter final of the cup. And you need a little, in the cup, you need a bit of luck, don't you? I mean, you know, if they was to draw Blackburn at home, you'd fancy them hugely. Or if they get City away, all of a sudden Wembley's out the window. You think.
It changes altogether. Not only Fulham though, Simon, Brighton reached the FA Cup quarter final for the third time in 6 years. Mm. De Zerbi, sure, he's made an impact. Might they have a job holding on to him? Possibly. We'll see about that in the fullness of time. But Simon, would a trophy go to prove that they can become more than a kind of stepping stone club?
Not necessarily. I mean, the trophy would be a wonderful achievement. But it's not going. When we say stepping stone club, I mean, the guy's come into English football, he's been here for 5 minutes, he's doing a good job. I think he's a long way away from being in a situation where anyone should be really looking at him anything other than doing a good job at Brighton.
Right.
We've just seen what a good job at Brighton looks like when you move him to Chelsea. A good job at Brighton doesn't mean that you've got the ability to do a big job at a bigger club. But what he's doing is he had the unadulterated fortune to pick up what was a very good side. Very rarely do you go into a football club as a manager when you've got everything right. Everything was right there. Brighton was already hitting its straps. It was a bloody good football team. So he got the luxury of coming in and picking up Graham Potter's hard work and hard yards and a very organised and disciplined side. And the initial problem was, could he translate his philosophy, his thinking, over to certain players? Well, initially he couldn't, because people like Trossard went off the reservation and didn't want to play ball with him in a certain way.
Yeah.
But he's cleaned that house. And now Brighton are in good nick. But we'll see. We'll see.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Danny, Chelsea, seldom out of the news. Silence is golden coming out of Chelsea this week in terms of what the hierarchy may or may not be saying. So one would think they're sticking to what they told me last week. In other words, Graham Potter carries on as the man in charge. Mm. Does that surprise you? Or do you think, nah, I thought they'd do that?
Yeah, I think it would be a shock if they were to get rid of him so quickly with the circumstances around what's gone on. Yes, he should have done better with the players he's got, but there has been a lot of new players. They've had the World Cup break. Give him the benefit of that. You brought him in, you paid good money to bring him, his staff, and give him till, you know, let's see how it goes to the end of the season. I think it's sensible.
Yeah.
I think there's things he could have done better in terms of his constant changing personnel and tactics, although tactically he's been similar the last few games, but he's got to start trying to forge some relation in that team.
Well, he could certainly do with a striker, couldn't he? And in all, amidst all the mad spending that they engaged in the recent window, they didn't bring one in. Romelu Lukaku, of course, on loan at Inter Milan. Would he be the answer? Now, many Chelsea fans might say, yeah. Why is he not still on the scene?
Well,
not on the scene? Persona non grata, would seem.
They made a deal to get rid of him, because him and Tuchel didn't get on. So when he left to Inter Milan, and then of course Tuchel left and Potter come in, I don't think it'd probably be an option in the contract to bring him back. But would he make Chelsea better? 100%. He is more or less a 1 in 2 in his goals in this country. At West Brom, Everton, even United. And although his worst season came at Chelsea, and when they bought him, 15 goals, they'd do a lot for that now. The other thing is, who is better than him? Who they're going to get? You know, there's rumours. I think they've done the deal for Nkunku to come in the summer. I'm not sure he's going to score more goals than Lukaku would. He's a good player, by the way.
Yeah.
But they're spending more money again when they've already got one. And of course, they already are, we spoke on this show about Aubameyang, of course, who again is a 1 in 2 goal scorer in the Premier League.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to play him. Potter's decided not to use him. I don't know how he is training. I know all about people talking about his attitude. The one thing I see when I see Aubameyang play, he plays high up. He makes runs like a striker, and he will score more goals than Havertz. 100 million%.
So why is he not playing him?
God knows. Because I would be looking at saving my job, not picking the one who runs around the most in training or hits the most numbers with the
stats. You throw Aubameyang into the mix now?
6 weeks ago. They haven't got a striker, Jim.
And is that the answer to their wars?
It's not the answer long term if he doesn't really think he's at it or his attitude or his application's correct. But he makes, every time I see him play for Chelsea, he makes good runs. He just hasn't had the people there to feed him. Now we've got all these new players in, a bit more controlling games, a bit more creativity. Put him in the team. He will score more goals than Havertz. His link-up play might not be as good. He might not look as silky. But he's a goal scorer. He's proven it. He's done it in this league. You've got a nine. Use him. Fix the relationship. Give him a kick up the back. Do what you need to do as a leader to motivate the player you need to keep you in a job.
Yeah. The Lukaku debate, though, Simon, is a box of tricks. Because yeah. Inter Milan chief Beppe Marotta says, Lukaku to stay next year, well, it's too early to decide whether or not he stays with them, that means. He'll return to Chelsea. We'll see what happens after that. He wants to stay with us at Inter, for sure. We know Romelu's intentions, so we'll see if we can get it to work for him. I mean, what's going on with him?
How about a bit of courtesy? How about you can't speak about other people's players? You've been given an opportunity to take him on loan. He's not your player. And I would have thought you might want to wind your neck in. Maybe something's been lost in translation. You know, if Chelsea want Romelu Lukaku back at Chelsea, given the fact they paid Milan 90 million quid for him, back he'll come. And hopefully he will perform at a level of Chelsea determined that he's their number nine, commensurate with what he got bought for and what he gets paid. Because he's the one that created this problem. He's the one that created the riff of Thomas Tuchel. He's the one that's wasted Chelsea's money. So I don't particularly appreciate this particular Inter Milan official talking out of turn about someone else's player that's on merely on loan to them. Going to Graham Potter, well, Aubameyang for me is a problem player, and he seems to be a problem player wherever he goes.
But he's not giving him a chance.
Well, there must be a bloody good reason. There must be a very good reason, because Graham Potter can see in front of his own eyes what we can see, which is a side that is very much in games but can't score goals to win games.
Yeah, but I understand your point. But if you've got a player who you know can do what you need, you've got no one else who can do it, surely over a couple of week period, you use your leadership qualities and to get him on board, get him a bit fitter, kick him up the backside, put your arm around him, do what you need to do.
And that's assuming that we, in our mind's eye, the recollection that we have of Aubameyang is now commensurate with what level he's at now.
I've seen enough.
And you're probably right, but I mean, Potter can't be that obtuse that he sees the problem, knows the problem, yet ignores the solution. He can't be that obtuse. And if he is, then what's he ever doing at managing a football team of any level?
And now we're here in the same breath, Danny, that somebody who is very welcome and very popular at Stamford Bridge, Mateo Kovacic, might well be on his way come the summer to Manchester City.
Well, I don't see that, but I love Kovacic. I'm a big fan of him. I was from day one, and he was patient when he first went there to get his game time, but he's played a lot of games over the past few years and been brilliant for Chelsea. I think the fans really appreciate him. Is he good enough to get in their best 11 still with all the players they've signed? Yes, he is. So why would you be looking to get rid? He is 20, what is he, 28, 29? So, look, this all ain't... Let's not put it all on Graham Potter. The incomings and outgoings at Chelsea aren't all on his shoulders. You know, he's not dictating all of that. We know that. And he has to deal with that. But Kovacic, if you're asking me from a footballing perspective, not a business perspective, because I know they're running a business as well and they've brought a lot of players in, so there's an expenditure and income and all that. Would I be wanting to keep him if I was a coach? Damn right.
Specifically for his experience, if nothing else?
No, forget his experience. His quality. He keeps the ball. He demands it off the back players. He gets you from the defensive third to the attacking third. He won't get you many goals, but if you want to play two holding players, he could be one of them because he's a terrific footballer. He's played on the biggest stage. He's brave. He's comfortable. He's technically gifted. Nightmare to play against.
So your argument this morning would be, in terms of digging Potter out of the jam he's in, Kovacic, got to play. Aubameyang, got to play.
Look, as I said before, and I need to reinforce this, I'm not seeing him training. If he's a joke on the training pitch and he's jacked it in, let's say.
Who, Aubameyang?
Yeah, then you can't play him. If the other lads are going, he's taking the mickey, then, you know, you got to get him out the door. I understand. I don't see that when I've seen him play. I've seen him make run after run after run and not get a ball.
Your argument would be, Simon, he's had one chance too many.
But he started about five games.
But not at Chelsea. You know, my argument has been that he was absolutely right to being drop-kicked out the door at Arsenal. I said to at the time that he'll go to Barcelona.
I think that was the right decision, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely it was. He'll go to Barcelona and score goals, but he'll revert to type. It would be a problem. They couldn't get him out quick enough. You know, Chelsea...
But that was because of their financial position.
Really?
And they wanted to sign Lewandowski.
They wanted to sign Rafinha and other players. They had the money to be able to find that other players. But the point is, there may well be to make room for Lewandowski, but notwithstanding that, he came to Chelsea, and you would expect him to do a job. There must be something that we aren't seeing that is not evident that means that Potter, who isn't stupid.
But I tell you
what, see him as a solution, because the problem is clear. Chelsea don't score goals to win games.
Aubameyang's yet to play 90 minutes.
Yeah,
for
one of the things. One of the things that's changing in football a lot, especially even with forward players now, there's not many passengers. So you used to always have a striker in teams gone in years gone by where you would never see them defend too much. There wasn't lots of Ian Rushes out there who would press from the front. Managers now like players who can do the physical stuff without the ball. And Aubameyang's not good at that. And I don't think that's him being a bad character. I think that's just the way he's always played. He's been a forward who scores goals. He's not particularly tenacious. He's not got the Mane desire to go after people and people like that. I don't think Potter wants to carry a passenger. Sometimes you
have But you think you should see him against Leeds this weekend at Stamford Bridge?
100%. 100%. If he's fit, play him up high on the shoulder. Let the other lads, because they'll have plenty of possession. They should have enough quality to find a striker who makes the runs.
Currently, the only passenger at Chelsea is Graham Potter. Mm. He's the passenger. You bring a manager in to resolve problems, not to create them. He's currently creating problems for the ownership.
Hard-edged, hard-nosed, hard to beat. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Simon, last night I immediately thought of you when it appeared on Twitter and I started reading it. Conor Benn on social media in no fewer than 1,124 words decided to release a statement in response to the World Boxing Council's verdict on his failed doping test, highlighting serious and troubling issues with the testing process. And I'm looking at you, Simon, and I know exactly where this is going to go. What does he say? Well, he says, amongst other things, this: the WBC have declared me innocent of being a drugs cheat. And then he goes on to say, I feel like the WBC statement did a disservice to my defence, which was based upon a comprehensive scientific review of the testing procedures, which set out a number of reasons why we believe the results were completely unreliable and proved beyond any reasonable doubt that I am innocent. In your eyes today, is Conor Benn totally innocent?
No.
Did he fail a drugs test and still has to argue his way out of it?
What Conor is saying, and I find myself incredibly conflicted, because I really want Conor Benn to be a success and I really want him to be everything he can be, and I really like the lad. But we're in a situation where Conor Benn seems to only like the outcomes that suit him. The WBC seemed to have acted as his defence in this. He brought a 270-page dossier detecting that the VADA process was flawed and that the equipment wasn't working and testing processes were this and people were excluded from that. And the WBC didn't seem to like that very much, so they found a defence for him. And I've never heard anything so preposterous. They found a defence.
What do you mean they found a defence for
him? Well, they found the defence. They exonerated him, if that's what you want to call this, right? Because the burden of proof is much lower, it would seem, on the WBC, who have no jurisdiction here whatsoever, so it's almost irrelevant. And it's a tactic of Conor Benn's team to build a case for him to launch off, right? The bottom line is they've gone to them with this particular set of assertions. The WBC have looked at it and gone, well, we don't consider those to be valid, but what we do think is, did you look at your diet? Ah, okay, so when you're bringing a case in front of a judge, it's the judge's alternative opportunity to become a defence team as well. And ultimately, what they've now suggested is that the reasons why Conor Benn shouldn't be sanctioned Not that they have any jurisdiction to sanction him anyway. And the reasons why he should be allowed back in their rankings is because there was an overindulgence in eggs. Now, with that in mind, Conor Benn is now saying that WBC have misrepresented their position, didn't quite give the statement that he and his guys wanted, and he wants to correct that. It's really, really simple, Conor. It's really, really simple. Why don't you just appear in front of the British Boxing Board of Control, stop making preposterous observations about how you're going to sue them, and follow through their guidelines and clear your name? And I cannot understand what Conor is saying about this agenda with the British Boxing. I have seen nothing privately and publicly that the British Boxing Board of Control have done to give Conor one iota of a position around unconscious bias or prejudice in terms of his position. He's been offered the opportunity to go to the British Boxing Board of Control. He's told them to do one.
Why?
Well, one can only assume that he has concerns about their processes, and maybe he feels that UCAD's testing regime gives him cause for concern. Only Conor Benn can answer that, because what he's telling you right now is everybody is a conspiracy theory. The British Boxing Board of No Control, as I call them, have sat here systematically making his life difficult, taking away his earning ability. What were they supposed to do when a VADA test came back with a negative result, positive result.
Yeah, yeah,
they had to do something. His lawyers shut them down.
You know the dossier?
His lawyers shut the British Boxing Board of Control down.
But the dossier, Jim, Simon, on layman's terms here, the dossier, as far as I'm aware, reading between the lines, is basically saying that the testing process initially that found the WBC is useless.
And the WBC didn't accept it. Now, you could look into that and say, well, maybe if we want to go down the conspiracy rabbit hole, the WBC suddenly found some failings in their VADA system and would rather not that be brought to attention, so they couldn't admit that. So they've given him an alternate defence.
They deny that.
But they've given him an alternate defence.
I know, but if there is truth in that dossier about the way the lab's set up and about the contamination.
And it's the same truth that will find itself into UKED.
That's what can he not say that to the British board?
Well, he can take whatever he wants to take
of
them.
Of course.
But what Conor has elected to do is not to face the British. The problem for Conor is when this situation manifests himself, he was licensed by the British Boxing Board of Control, which means he can be dealt with by the British Boxing Board of Control. And unless he faces them and deals with them and stops making ridiculous observations about how he's going to sue them, he's going to find himself in a situation where he's not going to be able to fight in this country for a significant period of time. And if that's what he wants, that's what he's going to get.
What's the alternative if he does stand in front of them?
What's the alternative?
And they find him guilty, he will never fight anywhere.
No, of course he'll get banned. And then
everywhere?
No, yeah, ad infinitum, he'll be banned.
Yeah. In every country.
And then what will happen, yes, and then what will happen is he'll come back and redeem himself in the same way that Canelo Alvarez did, Tyson Fury did, and a whole raft of other people
did. Why would you do that to yourself then? It's completely understandable why he's not going for
Why do you think Conor is deciding at this stage in the proceedings that attack is the best line of defence?
So he can fight.
Because he says here, as for the British Boxing Board of Control, they attacked me publicly and privately during the most difficult time of my life.
But where?
Treating me with utter contempt and without any consideration for the fair process or my mental state.
But where? This is the point I can't understand, because I'm never for the establishment. I'm the last person that would be for the establishment. So I'm not for it. I want an effective governing body, but I don't want that one that gets ahead of itself. You point me somewhere, because I can't find it. You tell me and show me where the British Boxing Board of Control have done anything to Conor Benn besides ask him to appear before them. He failed a drugs test, a VADA test. Now, he's now contesting that via his very smart lawyers that are doing a number on the lesser lawyers of WBC and the lesser lawyers of perhaps UCAD. But if you can tell me, because I can't find it, and I've looked really deeply, I've done a deep dive into this, what is it exactly that the British Boxing Board of Control have done to you, Conor? Besides, you told them to do one. You sent them a cease and desist letter the moment they got test results. You stopped them from having a dialogue with you. You've torn your licence up. So what is it that Robert Smith and the British Boxing Board of Control have done to you that's prejudiced your position, besides, say, you've got to account for it? You've gone off to the WBC. Have you ever heard of a person judging you finding an alternate defence for you? They found an alternate defence for him.
To protect themselves.
I don't know what the motivation's for, but
so
we can all draw our conclusions.
Simon, you're telling us today that, as far as you're concerned, you are no further forward in your thinking regards Ben than you were on the very day you and I sat in the studio, and word came through around this time, the back of 12 noon, Conor Benn, it is being reported, has failed a drugs test, and it's thrown the fight against Eubank Jr. into jeopardy.
I'm worried that Conor Benn is believing some of the things that he's being told by very clever people telling him how to say it, and ultimately suggesting that if he says things long enough and hard enough and over a significant period of time, people will subscribe to The View. Of course, if you sit there and go, well, someone can't be guilty if they're prepared to shout this loud, if they're prepared to call things out this loud, surely they can't be guilty.
But independent,
well, why don't you go in front of the British... Okay, Connor, tell us. Just tell us, so we can all understand, what the British Boxing Board of No Control, as I call them, have done.
Well, maybe
what is it they've done that's disrespected you? What is it they've done that's give you a late decision? Should they have cancelled it early? Should they have stepped in after the first test and gone, fine, that fight's off? Yeah, I reckon they should have done, right? But the point is, what else have they done to stop you going through? Is there no fair process here?
Well, he might tell you if you spoke to him. You said at the beginning of the conversation, he's a good lad. Maybe can you not give him the benefit of doubt?
He's been controlled by his lawyers. His lawyers are telling him what he can and can't say. Well, that's a statement written by his lawyers, I suspect. And everything that's come out has been via his lawyers.
I spoke to him not that long ago, Simon. He was prepared to give us like a 15, 20 word
statement. You'll see, I'm innocent. Yeah.
Continue to protest.
Everybody in the sport, Jim, everybody that I know wants him to be innocent. Most people I've spoken to in sport believe him not to be so. It's really simple. Go in front of British Boxing Board of Control. Because they're talking about going to the Court of Arbitration of Sport. You can't go to the Court of Arbitration of Sport until you've been sanctioned. Yeah. You haven't even been sanctioned yet.
Yeah.
Stand in front of British Boxing Board of Control. Feel that you've been undone fairly. Take it to Cass.
Yes.
That's your process.
Connor, if you're listening, mate, your statement went on, and it went on a fair bit. 1,124 words, but we're none the wiser.
Danger. Flammable exchanges ahead. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. We'll be back each weekday to bring you the best of the show.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.